Good evening, everyone. Tonight, we're going to look at this amazing story in Esther. And it's the start of the story. And I just want to read it to you from Esther chapter 1, starting at verse 10, reading to the end of the chapter. And it's headed, Macho Insecurity. And when David was looking for somebody to talk about macho, he thought, I know who I'm going to call. Not really. Macho Insecurity. And it reads like this. On the seventh day, when King Artaxerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs who served him. This is my pronunciations now. Mehuam, Bizthath, Harbona, Bigtha, Abatha, Agbatha, Zephanah, and Carcass. That's sulfur pronunciation for you right there. To bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matter of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times and were closest to the king. Here's some more. Kashama, Shethara, Abanothra, Tarshishish, Merses, Marsina, Memucan. The seven nobles of the Persia and Media, who had special access to the king and were highest in the kingdom, according to the law that must be done to Queen Vashti. He asked, she has not obeyed the command of King Artaxerxes that the eunuchs have taken her. Then Memucan replied in the presence of the king and the nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and the peoples of all the provinces of King Artaxerxes, for the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, and so they will despise their husbands, say, King Artaxerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persian and Median women of nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. Therefore, if it please the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of the king, King Artaxerxes. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. Then when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all the vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands from the least to the greatest. The king and his nobles were pleased with this advice, so the king did as Memucan proposed. He sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in its own script, and to each people in their own language, proclaiming that every man should rule over his household using his native tongue. Thank God for the reading of his word. Now then, explain that lot. You know, quite often when we look at the story of Esther, we bypass chapter 1. I can't. We bypass chapter 1 because it's an awkward subject. You know, because there's a bloke there and he's divorcing his wife, but he's getting rid of her so she can never come into his presence again, and he's replacing her, and all the other men are agreeing with it. And I think that's why the title I was given was Macho Insecurity. But what I want to look at in this passage is this. I want to look at, first of all, relationships, because this is a book based on relationships. It's also, we also want to look at this. We want to look at, where do you get right counsel from? Who do you ask advice of? And I also, lastly, want to look at right decisions. Because in relationships, sometimes we share about our relationships with others and we ask for advice. But sometimes then we've got to make decisions. So first of all, I want to look at relationships. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 33, it says this. However, each of one, that's meaning the husband of you, must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So first of all, Paul's telling the people in Ephesians, and we're going to reflect on the story we just read, you must love your wife. That's a powerful thing. Let's reflect on that story. Just read what it says about love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7 describes love. And a lot of you in the room can probably tell me what it says without looking in the Bible, because you've read it a number of times, you heard it preached on. But let's reflect on it as the opposite to what the king was doing in this story at the time. Because he wasn't showing love to his wife. He was trying to make his wife parade in front of a load of men, dressed in her fine gear, because she was a good-looking lady. That's what he was doing. But this is what it says we should do as husbands for our wives. We should love our wives. And it says here, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Why did he want his queen to walk before all the other blokes? He was showing off. He was saying, look at my wife. She's the best there is. He was showing off. He wasn't honoring her. He was showing off her beauty in a way that wasn't honoring. It goes, does not boast, is not proud, love it, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. Think of the story. If you really love somebody, you don't easily anger. Does not easily anger. It keeps no record of wrongs. Think of this story. Was there a record of wrong kept? Yes. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Wow. And then I love that, the first part of verse 8 where it says, love never fails. And aren't you glad? I'm glad love never failed, because you know what? God is love. Love never fails. So there, I just want us to reflect on this story as really thinking about the husband and wife situation. How important it is. We can learn from this how quickly problems arrive. He's having a party. He's getting the drinks to flow in. All the blokes, and they're the rulers of a really large empire. We've seen what happens sometimes when people get together who are in power and they start to brag and they say things. See, in these days, there was no such things as hidden cameras phones with photographs on. Nowadays, people get caught out that way. He was caught out because the company he was keeping, the bragging he was doing, and the drinking he was doing. Because the more he drank, the more he bragged, and the deeper the hole he was digging. So what should he have done? If we're looking at what Paul says there, he says he should be loving his wife. There should never have been a point when he was going to bring her to show her off in front of people to make him look good. He should never have been using it in that way. He should be loving his wife. And as he loved his wife, do you know what? She would have honored him. Do you know what he should have been doing? He should have been speaking to the queen in his life, not the pageant queen. Do you get what I mean by that? He should have been speaking to the queen in his life. Speaking to the queen in his life makes her feel good. Because she's being loved and she's being respected. It makes her feel honored. It makes her feel special because she's special to him because he should love her. And his wife then would have wanted to speak to the king in him. Not just the king because he wears a crown, but the king in him, that is the best in him. That the best would come out of him and he would speak the best. You know, there's something really special about marriage. Why? God made it. And there's something really special when the husband looks at his wife and she is the queen of his eyes. There's no one who can come anywhere near to her. She is the best. But he speaks well of her. And he wants her to achieve and to do all God's got for her to achieve and do. And the amazing thing is, that's reciprocal from the wife back to the husband. That's not what we're finding here. Why? They're not following God. It's an empire, it's a kingdom. That's in this story for what happens next. But we see the importance in relationship of honoring, of loving, of speaking rightly of each other. In this story, what happens then as the story goes on, we see the point here that the king gets angry. It says at the end of verse 12, after Vashti refused to come, the king became furious and burned with anger. Since it was the custom for the king to consult experts in the matter of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times. See, love never fails. Love is patient. He's not loving his wife. He's suddenly burning with anger. Do you know there's a real danger? I'll say it to the blokes. The ladies can listen in to this point. I'll say it to the blokes. As a bloke, there's a danger when we burn with anger. When we burn with anger, we make bad choices. Probably the same for the ladies as well. But this is about a bloke at this point. But as men, we need to learn to love and control, to forgive permanently, to forgive regularly, to honor, to love. That's what he wasn't doing. Do you know, notice this? He burned with anger. As he burned with anger, what did he do? He went to find and ask for counsel, for wise advice. Where would you go? Would you go to somebody who had a great marriage? Yeah, I'm having a couple of problems here. Can you just give me some advice? And they would have probably clipped him around the ear and told him to stop behaving like an idiot and treat his wife with respect and love. He didn't go to somebody like that. What the king did, he said, since it was customary for the king to consult experts in law, in matters of law and justice. Straight away, because he's not forgiving, he's heading for the divorce court. Straight off. He's going down that route. And he's looking to people in law and in justice to give him the advice of what he should do. And it says that he spoke with the wise men who understood the times. That's interesting, isn't it? It's an interesting phrase. They understood the times. Because you know what? Opinions and ways people do things change with time. But God is the same yesterday, today, forever. What he's doing, he's just going with the flow of public opinion. And they're thinking, if the queen gets away with this, what will our wives do? We want to rule our wives. We want to get away with treating our wives, if we're being honest, the way we treat them. That's what they're saying. And they treat their wives not in a good way. They're after keeping that status quo in their houses that they could treat their wives the way they treated them. And the fact that the queen did what she did, they're now worried that their wives will want to be treated properly. It's interesting when you think about it, isn't it? That's what's happening. Do you know what amazes me? And I'm not going to nick somebody else's sermon, but by the end of this book, and I'm sure you've read it before, so I'm not going to spoil the end of this. This is a spoiler. If you've never read the book before, stick your fingers in the air for a second. By the end of this book, there's going to be a queen who has so much power, she rules over half the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? In this book, it's going to be from where the first queen has just got to parade up and down and look glamorous and her husband's showing her off like she's a prize essay, right the way through to when there's a queen who's in charge and has power. See, when God knows how to honor you, because God loves you. And at this part of this story, we see the king, he's going for counsel. I want to just say this to you. Where do you go for advice? Where do you go for counsel when you want wise counsel of somebody? Because where you go for counsel will dictate the decision you're going to make next. Because if the person you're going to counsel off and for wise advice of is somebody who honors God and listens to God and can hear from God, they will give you wise counsel. But if you go into other people who've got an ulterior motive, which these guys did, their ulterior motive was they want to keep their wives under their thumb and oppress them. That's what their motive was. Guess what? He got loaded advice. Not for his benefit, not for his wife's honor, not for his honor, not for the good of the kingdom, but for the people he has to counsel for their benefit. That challenges me. Because sometimes people come to me for advice. And I'm sure people have come to you for advice at times. And it makes me check my motivation for giving advice. Am I truly saying words to other people in honor of God? Or am I saying words to other people to fit in with the times and seasons I'm living in? Or am I saying words to other people because it makes me feel good and my life a bit easier? It's quite important, isn't it? Who we go to advise and what advice do we give? When we look at this story, it leaves with a very sad end to this chapter. The book isn't a sad end, but this chapter is a sad end. So we've got to be really careful where we go for advice, because where we go for advice or for counsel, that will affect our decision making. You know, one thing that will dictate your future is your decision making. It's true, isn't it? The one thing that's really going to dictate your future isn't everything else, it's your decision making. When I decided to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, did that affect my future? Yes, it did, and it affected my present. When I married my beautiful wife, did that affect my future? Yes, it did, in a very good way. It affected my future. Yeah, decisions we make, you know, the decision we make on a Monday morning when we're supposed to be getting up for work and the alarm goes off and we think, I'll have 5 more minutes, and we go to hit the snooze button, but we hit the off button. Yeah, my decision to hit that button makes me late for work. You know, the decisions we make right away, we make constant decisions, don't we? You know, and normally I'll go to a place for a meeting. You know, one of the first questions people will say, do you want a drink? I'm going to make a decision. Yes. Then there's another question. Coffee or tea, or do you want a cold drink? Then there's another question. Do you take milk? See, all the way through it, then there's another question, isn't there? Do you have sugar? See, all the way through the day, we're making decisions. Some of them may seem quite small and not important, but others are. But when we come into important decisions, where do you go for that counsel so you make a wise decision? Do you get into the Word? Do you talk to somebody at church? Do you know, where do you go? And do you know one thing I've learned over the years? It's to get good counsel on small decisions, then when the big decisions come, they'll start to fall into place. Because sometimes we wait for a big decision before we really start to ask God for advice, before we really start to listen to what he's saying. We wait for the big decision to come because we think we can handle the rest in our own strength. And when it comes to the big decision, we're not so sure how to handle it. Do you know, if we're constant in our decision making with him, when the big decisions come, they become easier to know what's the right thing to do. You know, in this story, I'm just going to tell you a little. I'll tell you, it's just a slight aside. I just remembered something. A couple of years ago, you know, in Salford, we're very privileged to have a very large Jewish community in Salford. And they celebrate Esther in the Feast of Purim. Make sure I pronounce it right, get my out of my mouth. And a few years ago now, after my mum had quite a large stroke, she was in Salford Royal, and she had to move from a care home to a nursing home. So me and my brother were driving round looking for nursing homes. What we didn't realise was we were driving round on the day of the Feast of Purim in Higher Broughton, looking for a nursing home. We're driving up this road, and there's this bloke walking up the road with the bottom part of him was dressed as a shark, and the top part of him was a guy in a white T-shirt coming out the mouth of the shark with the shark thing here. We're looking at him thinking, that's a bit strange. We turned around the corner, and Super Mario came walking towards us, and another bloke dressed as another character from a computer game. We're thinking, this is really weird around here. We go around another car, because they're all dressing up as superheroes, or things of fun, because it's a big fun celebration. We went into the very Orthodox area, and they were dressed very, very differently. But in the sort of more liberal Jewish areas, they were dressing all sorts of things. It took us about 10 minutes to figure out what was going on, and it suddenly clicked. It was the Feast of Purim, because they still celebrate it today in a very, very big way. But anyway, getting back to this part of the story, wise decision. I just want to encourage you this evening as we've looked at this passage and we look at this fact. I want to encourage your husbands to show love to your wife at all times. And to really just check your heart. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a man thing to do. Check your heart. You know, am I doing it? And if I'm not doing it in areas of my life, let's pull my socks up. You know, let's get it sorted out. And for the ladies, to love and honour the husbands. Respect the husbands. That's an amazing witness to our family, isn't it? If we love and respect each other. Amazing witness on the street we live in, or the close we live in, or the block of apartments we live in. Amazing respect. Amazing witness. And then I want to challenge us just to think, you know, who do I actually ask for advice off, from counsel off? Where do I go to? And actually to think it through before you hit a really hard time when you need it and you're panicking about where you go. Get used to sharing with people, getting used to pulling that good advice off people, getting used to getting in the Word and getting the teaching from the Word in us on a repeated basis, that great advice just roots down within us, that when we come to make a decision, we know what is right. And I just want to encourage you, have the bravery to make right decisions. Because sometimes, you know, a right decision isn't the easiest decision. I was talking to a mate of mine, Chit Yule, the other day, and I was with Roger Sutton, and me, Roger Sutton, and Chit were talking. Me and Roger, as you know, a few months ago, went round Australia, and we play a game when we travel round different countries. We ask anyone from the Salvation Army if they know Chit Yule, right? That's the game we play. And you know what? We're struggling to find anyone who doesn't know Chit Yule wherever we go in the world. We're in the middle of New South Wales meeting with all the leadership of the Salvation Army for the whole of New South Wales. And we said, we have a friend called Chick. And they all went, Yule, before we did. But we were talking, but you know, Chick came to a decision. The reason they all know Chick is because he made a decision. He made the decision to resign over a matter of principle. That wasn't easy for him to do. It was very costly to him at the time. But the fact he resigned and did what was right changed the Salvation Army. See, it took one man to make a stand, to make a knock-on effect of other changes. It took one person to say, do you know what? This is wrong, so I have to do this, to make other people stand up and act as they should do. I'm going to finish in a second, but I just want to place this last thing before you. Always prepared to do what's right when you make a decision. Not to worry about the times or the seasons or the implications, but what honours God. Because when we honour Him, He always honours us.